Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Let us listen to the word of our God. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what they sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I love these two texts. See, this thing. I'm saying low battery. I may be out of luck on this. Yeah, it's dead. All I have to talk about. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to leave this here. There is nothing better than when brothers and sisters get along, right?
Right.
Parents. Yeah. Probably nothing worse than when they don't. I probably had three or four conversations today with Grant and Ryan about how they treat each other, right? They're brothers. They can either be the best support each other has or the worst. This is not the first text about brothers in the Bible, is it? In fact, you probably don't have to work very hard to think about the first mention of brothers in Scripture. In fact, it's actually intriguing. The very first question recorded by the humans asked in Scripture, anybody want to guess what it is? It has to do with the brothers. The very first thing we as human beings inquire. The first question in the text that any humans ask is, of course, Cain talking to God. Kind of a profound question he asks. Am I my brother's keeper? The first question, probably foundational and core to understanding our purpose here, to what we're doing here, to the whole shape of this world God has created and what we are doing in it. Of course, that question gets asked and left hanging in the air, right? It's not answered at that point. It sits there over a bloody earth. Because, of course, Cain does not believe he is his brother's keeper. He doesn't think Abel is his responsibility and probably sees Abel, of course, saw Abel, as more of a threat than family. There's nothing more powerful. These texts speak to that question, am I my brother's keeper? The Old Testament text from Psalm 133, how blessed it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in harmony. When we recognize that we are family, that we are connected, blessed is God's presence. God is perhaps no more present than when we start seeing one another as family, as brothers and sisters, as people who we are inextricably connected to. In fact, I love what it goes on here. It's like, and this is weird to us in modern day. It's like oil running down the beard of Aaron. What can you do? Get a napkin. But of course, this is also, this is not in zero context. This is a rich image. The oil was part of the anointing ceremony, and Aaron was anointed as high priest. And the priest is the one who connects heaven and earth, who walks into the very presence of God. Once again, in fact, this oil, being anointed with oil, was the last part of the ordination ceremony before Aaron would go into the most holy place. Once again. So this symbol of oil dripping down Aaron's beard is very much this deep connection to going into the very presence of God. Can I draw the connection here? When we start treating each other as brothers and sisters, we are entering into the very presence of God. Probably never more. The last part of it, Thomas Blessing, that this life forevermore. When we start treating one another as brothers and sisters and family, we are very literally entering into eternal life now. Because that's very much what heaven looks like, right? Jesus' prayer, may thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is of course the prayer that we are called to pray. Because we all very much affect what gets done on earth. We walk out these doors and we make choices about how we treat our brothers and sisters, our enemies, our friends, our bosses, our co-workers, the driver who just cut us off on the road. Are these people inextricably connected to me as my family, or are they threats? Are they enemies? Are they competitors? Acts is an incredibly, it's almost camel work, right? There's this window where Jesus came and the disciples and the apostles are all so connected and so loved by Jesus that they are willing to put everything on the line for each other, right? I mean, it's kind of what we all wish we had in church. A place where everybody is cared for. Where whoever has a need, we're family. That's what we do. When somebody's hurting, somebody else steps up and cares for them. When somebody's rejoicing, we throw a party. When somebody's mourning, we gather around them and give them hugs. When somebody's suffering, we comfort them. When somebody is in need, we see what we can do to band together and meet it. This is very much the kingdom of heaven on earth. Because that's what heaven looks like, right? When we get to heaven, it's not going to be some empire where we're all amassing larger bank accounts and trying to buy a larger share of the place. I'm quite sure. When we get there, the kingdom of heaven in eternity is a place where we all offer and give of ourselves to the others, and that's enough. And we are given to as we have needs, and we share from the generous gifts that God has poured out on us. I love that the text emphasizes this. There was great power and great grace among the disciples. Because of this willingness to love up, to see everyone as a brother, everyone as a sister, to see everyone else as really connected to me, that I am not some distinct ego who needs to win and beat other people, but that rather I am here as a gift to these people. In fact, it's one of my favorite texts where Jesus tells his disciples, they're arguing about who gets to be greatest. John, I said, I'm on your right, Jesus, most important spot. He's like, well, that's okay, but I better get the left. And nobody's heard from our following in a week, so he should probably be down there as well. And Jesus says, no, y'all, this is not how we roll in our kingdom. In this world, great men lord it over each other. They try to subordinate and dominate. But in my kingdom, those who would be great serve. They give. Whatever gifts, abilities, talents, they have resources. They recognize that these have been given so that they can lift up and encourage, not so they can dominate and subdue. Great power and great grace. I don't think these things were reserved just for the early church. I think this is what God is up to in our world now. I think this is what God is up to here in your church. This is what I feel when I walk in. I feel loved. You care for each other. You love each other. When you show up here and you listen and you care and you pay attention to each other, this is very much what you're doing. That's the point of this gathering today is that we are gathering to do this, to be brothers and sisters in unity, because that is how we enter into the presence of God. That is how we actualize the kingdom of God now among us and between us. This is what you do when you support your retirement home because you're taking care of those who need taking care of. This is what you do when you support your preschool because you're taking care of the young too. This is what you do when you show up and help each other out when you need something done. And there's something beyond you. We are, every single one of us, answering that question, am I my brother's keeper? Every day. That's the purpose. There is no higher calling to our lives. This is our witness to God. Everybody believes because the disciples in Acts are doing this, right? Easy to talk a good God game. Where the rubber meets the road is where somebody's willing to sacrifice their plethora of resources for somebody who has less. That's where it actually starts meaning something. We feel loved when somebody sacrifices something for us, right? In some way, whether it's their time, their resources, their goodwill and presence with us. That is what testifies to the truth of resurrection, of new life, of Holy Spirit present in us and being poured out through us. Can you imagine this? Jesus said he came to bring sight to the blind, to bring freedom to the captives, to bring healing to the sick. And then invites us into this work too. He says, just as God has sent me, so send I you. He said that as much as we do to the least of these brothers and sisters, we are very much doing it for our God himself. Last summer, the kids and I were driving down from Chico to Woodland to visit Grandma. And on the way down, I passed somebody and caught something in the median and blew a tire in the truck. And the kids were hungry, didn't have any water in the car, they were kind of frightened already. We pulled over on the side of the road and I got out of Jack and started working on the car. And a car pulled over and this couple got out. And the guy came over and said, hey, can I help you out? I got some gloves and another jacket. You can get this done fast. The wife said, here, I've got some popsicles. Is it okay if I get your kids some popsicles?
Sure.
They said, we saw you here, and we just ran into the service station and bought some popsicles and came right back. And I couldn't believe it. You guys are awesome. You guys are making this world a better place. We all, every single day, get to wake up and decide whether our main purpose is accomplishing X, Y, and Z on our list of things to do, or if our main purpose is indeed being our brother and sister's keeper. Looking for ways to bring blessing, to bring healing, to bring encouragement and love and presence. Because we are all connected, right? You have friendships and relationships no one else on this planet has. You have power in your position and place that nobody else can. You can say things and do things no one else can do because of who you are and where God has placed you. You're the daughter or son of your parents. You're the mother or father of your children, the spouse, the friend. That's irreplaceable. Nobody else can do that but you. And as these texts show, it comes with such amazing joy and potential to be able to speak the kingdom of God into the lives of the people around us. There is nothing better than when brothers and sisters dwell together.